بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. This will be a translation and explanation of a few verses of Quran which came in my mind while the qiraat was taking place, the first qiraat. May Allah Tabarakala make it beneficial for all of us. Allah Tabarakala's Quran and ayat of Quran is a message for every era, and it speaks to every individual, every group, every generation in a different manner. And the lessons that are taken out will continue changing with the course of time, because this Quran has been meant as the message to the awwaleen, the first, and it's a message to the people of the last. Before we come to what was read about Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam and how he stood up to what was known as the empires of evil, and you had to stand up all alone. But before that, another verse I will explain. Where Allah Tabarakala speaks about the initial era of Nubuwa, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Muqabala, his fight was against the highest ranking in the satanic lodge. They were known as the Jews of Medina, but they were not Jews like what we will say a Jew linked to Musa Alayhi Salaam. These were those Jews who were linked to what we today call Kabbalah. In their era, they called it the knowledge of Harut and Marut. In the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a Sahabi radiallahu anhu went to them. And he said that, years ago we would hear it from your tongue of the last Nabi of Allah. You described him to us in such a manner that when we saw him, we recognized him. But we find that you, no matter what he's showing, you're just pulling back. That if you all know him better than we know him, which Allah Tabarakala says recognizes him better than a person recognizes his own son. They recognize the Nabi of Allah better, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, than a person recognizes his own son. After such recognition, the question will be that why then were they so hard about it that we will never accept? So on that occasion, the individual said that the power that we are enjoying with this knowledge of Harut and Marut, we will never be ready to let go of this power. What that power was, we were not in that era. But as the years continued, and the day came when the name of that knowledge changed, and it took the form of what we call today Kabbalah. And then Kabbalah changed. The beginning Kabbalah was known as this terrible science, mystical science, hidden science. Then the word Kabbalah changed today, what we will call modern day science. Modern day science. And they are not hiding the fact that Kabbalah's link with modern day science is like what we will say A and B. Rather, they will write that we, through Kabbalah, have created the greatest scientists that the world has ever seen. So whoever has taken today modern day science, they've taken it from these what we will call Kabbalists. These were open people of the Kabbalah, Leonardo, Da Vinci, Michelangelo. And whatever work they did, that's why the world put in millions behind it. If he made a painting, the world will pay billions for it. Not because the painting was so grand, but because the grand master of the satanic lodge, this was his painting. So we would lift him in the world. Amazing these paintings are. You look at it, you'll wonder what's so grand about it. But then when you'll see the price, you will understand that this is something, but there's nothing in it. It's just in the mind. When 100 people say this is amazing, recently they did a survey, they say you stand anywhere in the world, look up to one building, and say, can you see the monkey there? But you need about 10 people who are all saying, there's it. After that, whoever comes, they also see it. And then you can carry on for the next 2 weeks, people will see the monkey. They'll even later on make you believe the monkey is there, because you'll say it wasn't there first. The world is like that. The satanic masters in that era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were the very ones that then went out of their way to make witchcraft on Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was not small magic that was done. A Nabi of Allah, for a small person to make jadu, black magic, that was never going to happen. These were people of the highest, highest ranks in the shaitani world. And then how history changes, we were going to find the end of times. And again, in the end of times, you would have these people who are in the highest levels of the satanic lodge. And they will be calling shots. Some of them will be those that we understand to be the enemy. And they are not so dangerous. And some of those are those that we don't know they are the enemy. The ones that we understand to be the enemy will say the Jewish lobby. We will say Israel. We will say certain Arabs who are going out of their world way to disfigure the entire surah of Islam. You say their enemy for Islam is so clear you can't miss it. And then there are others that they don't interfere at all with religion. But they are the masters in what we call the move of modern science. And everyone normally will follow them because he says he's no threat to my Islam. He is just an inventor. But as Leonardo and Michelangelo were not just inventors. When they drew, when they made, when they discussed the issue of modern day medicine in their time, which was not modern day, about how the body will be cut, how we should cut the body, how we must study the body, how one day the world will see a submarine, how one day the world will see an aeroplane. When they spoke, they were not speaking about or through inspiration from Almighty Allah. They were speaking through devil inspiration. And the devil only inspires the one who is his best and most powerful agent. So in today and in the future, whoever you will find, who is in the highest or in the lead in what is called modern science, then for our own iman protection, let's change that word modern science and always keep it on the word before it. The first word was the knowledge of Harut and Marut, but that one we will not really understand, so leave that one. Come to the second one, Kabbalah. That word Kabbalah, most of us when we grew up, we understood this is like heavy stuff. Jewish magic. So when we hear modern science, for the normal person, just think of Kabbalah. And for the people of knowledge, وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ. Think about the verse where Allah Tabarakala says, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانِ. Sulaiman alayhi salam never engaged in kufr. Rather, the shayateen began teaching the people sihr, and the knowledge which was revealed with two angels in Babylon, Harut and Marut. And with the seer, a unique empire of evil is created with this knowledge. Why Almighty Allah wanted it? This world is called Darul Fitan, a world of an exam. For the exam to take place, there was a need for this knowledge. So with regards to this verse of Quran, where Allah Tabarakala speaks about that group, in the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had a lot of claims. And when someone said to them, is this not the person you were promised, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, no. They said, rather our master is the one who, when he comes in the world, his head will be in the skies. And his feet will be touching the bottom of the waters. Our master, when he comes in the world, his head will be in the skies, which means that he will have power in the skies and he will have control of what's in the bottom of the ocean. When Sahaba radiallahu anhu heard this, they wanted one individual to have power from on top to the bottom. Today, me and you don't have it. Don't find it difficult at all to understand that how a system, how a party, how a government, And as it goes smaller, smaller, tighter, tighter, finally it comes to how one individual controls what's at the top and he has control what's in the bottom. He said, our master's head will be in the sky and his feet will be in the bottom of the waters. Sahaba radiallahu anhum came to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, will the Jews ever enjoy such a powerful individual, such a powerful leader? How will the world ever stand up against something like this? We call it the system of Dajjal, we call it Dajjal itself. Allah tabaraka ta'ala reveals, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ سُلْطَانٍ أَتَاهُمْ. Translation of the ayat is, indeed those people who come to argue with regards to the ayat of Almighty Allah. But an indication that can be taken from this ayat is, with regards to those people who will interfere in the doings of Almighty Allah. Because Qabalah normally means to be able to tap into nature from behind. To be able to tap into the natural system of Almighty Allah from behind. So if I can learn how to tap, I can bring water where there was not supposed to be water. And today they have announced, we can hold back rains, we can bring rains. To bring wind where there was not supposed to be wind. And then it goes more dangerous. To bring waters and floods where there was not supposed to be so much of water and floods. And then it goes even more to be able to interfere with what's above earth and to be able to interfere with what's under earth. And when that power comes in an individual hand, then he has no limits to his evil. To be able to play with the hearts, with the minds, with the lives of millions makes no difference to them. For them it's just a game now. So there was an indication in this verse, verily those who will interfere in the doings of Almighty Allah, بِغَيْرِ سُلْطَانٍ أَتَاهُمْ, without permission that was given to them. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, also miracles took place on their hand. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went out of space, out of time, beyond time. Everything happened with the permission of Almighty Allah. But Allah Ta'ala was going to allow a nation. That is why sometimes people think that how come the people of kufr are ahead in this game more than the people of iman? Were we not supposed to enjoy this power? Almighty Allah was going to open a door. That you want to walk through a door of power, but remember you will have nothing for you in the year after. And there's a world that is now going. وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. Almighty Allah says they will learn that which will harm them will not benefit them. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا لَمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُ. And they know very well when they are purchasing this knowledge, مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ, that in the year after they will enjoy nothing. And still, Almighty Allah says, وَلَبِئْسَ مَا شَرَوْ بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ. If only they understood how terrible it is what they are walking towards. Today this world that we are thrilled with, the world of Hollywood and Bollywood, and more higher than that, the world of modern day inventions, and the world of those few individuals who have thousands of followers, and who call the shots, and every day take out something else of the next era, and whose every new invention is mind-boggling. In this ayat we can take an inspiration, an indication from the translation of this ayah. Verily those who interfere, who argue, who take themselves deep into the doings of Almighty Allah, without permission which was given to them by Allah, in fi sudurihim illa kibr. Remember, they have nothing in their hearts but the desire to become the biggest. Ma hum bibalighi, but they are not going to reach where they want to reach. Every one of them has a dream. And Almighty Allah has promised the dream of every one of them is going to be cut. Hundreds of them already committed suicide. They all thought, I will be the strongest, the wealthiest, the most powerful. And in front of me, this religion, which is my biggest enemy, will collapse. From the beginning, they thought, first empire of evil was Namrud, which is said, wherever his eyes set, fell on, that became the land of Namrud. Wherever his eye fell on, that became the land of Namrud. He never knew someone will one day stop him. One individual, Ibrahim alayhi salam, one individual against the mighty empire of Namrud, and his dream was going to be cut. Ma hum bibalighi, they are not going to reach where they reach. So if ever in front of you comes where a man got so many billions, trillions, so many followers, if on my tongue and your tongue can come this ayat, ma hum bibalighi, he will not reach where he wants to reach. Meaning, how sorry I feel for you. You're making such an effort, but your dream is a mirage. Why we need to read this is because we have found the people of Iman today are also caught in the ru'ub, in the awe of these people. Because of the power they are able to exhibit, especially why we are now seeing it. In the past, people perhaps could have read about the great powers of someone. No one reads. But when you see it, when you experience it, when you live through it, for some reason, whenever I'm meeting Muslims, they're only talking about money, only talking about power, powerful individuals. Sometimes it's a Muslim individual who's powerful, Mubarak to him. Majority of time, because in his group or his game, even if he wants to remain pure, he will not be allowed to remain pure. So he will never be the strongest in this. It will only be a non-Muslim. That non-Muslim, if he shows his enmity for Islam, some people pull back. But if he doesn't, it doesn't mean that he is the beloved of Allah. He is the agent of the devil, only he's not yet showing it. And he becomes more dangerous than the one who shows it. So Allah Tabarakala says, ma hum bibalighi, they'll never reach where they have to reach. You don't have awe for them, you feel pity for them. Fasta'idh billah. Allah Tabarakala says, so what you do, O person of Iman? They are asking you of that giant whose head will be in the skies, whose legs will be in the bottom of the water. They are asking you of that powerful system that will be created. They were asking you about those individuals, those empires, who will rule the skies and the waters, who will have everything with them. During that time, must you fall in awe, in love with them? Fasta'idh billah. Almighty Allah says, you ask Allah to enter you in His protection. Fasta'idh billah. In the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Medina Munawwara had what we know as the elite of the Jews. They were very high level Jews. You might just think they were the small ones you see walking with the black cap and they knew nothing. They were masters of this field of what we today call Kabbalah. They worked for years with the jinn. They were people who were ready to oppose the greatest messenger of Almighty Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were people who were able to do the black magic on him. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would daily ask Almighty Allah to keep him in his protection. He would ask for himself, he would ask for his family, he would ask for his grandchildren. There's a kitab known as the Isti'adhat, the different words which he used. A'udhu billah, a'udhu bi kalimatillahi ta'amati. So many a'udhu, a'udhu, a'udhu. A sahabi radiallahu anhu says, then kul a'udhu bi rabbil falak, kul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. These two surahs were revealed. They were revealed when the magic then hit. He says, after that I found Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to say, he left all the other duas. And he just held on to these two. One reason for holding on to it was, he even said, have you ever found something so brilliant in wording, so eloquent in nature, so unique like these two surahs? He says, Wallah, there isn't anything. He held on to it so much because he wanted his ummah to hold on to it. Especially the ummah who will find themselves in a time where people begin interfering in the doings of Allah. And in a big way they were doing it. And thereafter Islam came. And Islam for many years knocked them out of the game. It was called the Ghalba of Islam. It was the era of the Khulafa. Then it was the era of the Abbasids. Then it was the great era of the Ottomans. During this entire time, Kufr had to be very quiet. They could do, but they could do very little. Then the Khilafat. Then was the Renaissance. They called it the rebirth. Then the Khilafat fell. Then they went out of their way in this movement. And what me and you are today seeing is what we call the peak of their interference in the doings of Allah. And from today till the end now, how bad they will get, how powerful they might get, what might happen. This ayat will ring loudly for all of us. فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Continue begging Allah to put us in that protection. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Almighty Allah says, وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ. Remember, the blind and the one who can see with foresight can never be the same. Basara is a person with eyes. Basira is a person whose eyes is in the heart. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the individual known as Dajjal, a person who reads, a person who's educated, a person who's a qari, he will not be able to read the kufr that's written on the forehead of the Dajjal. Either it's perhaps kaf, fa, ra will be written. Or some ulama have mentioned it will not be written on its forehead. It is a wording which means it will be so vivid his kufr, as though it's written on its forehead. But the educated, the qari, will not be able to read it. He says, that person who doesn't even know how to read, the ummi, but he glows with the light of iman, he'll pick it up immediately, this is wrong. Allah Ta'ala says, the blind and the one who sees, they can never be the same. وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ وَلَا الظُّلُمَاتُ وَلَا النُّورُ. Darkness in its many forms, whether it's the darkness of the internet, the darkness of the world of movies, the darkness of drugs, the darkness of entertainment, the darkness of modern day education. There's a lot of darkness in it all. In some we know the darkness, in some we don't want to see the darkness. But never lie to ourselves, there is darkness. And if you're ever going to a place where there's darkness, you have to go with your own light. Almighty Allah says, light and the different darknesses can never be the same. وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ وَلَا الظُّلُمَاتُ وَلَا النُّورُ وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَحْيَاءُ وَلَا الْأَمْوَاتُ. Almighty Allah says, the living and the dead can never be the same. They are those people who have billions, but they are dead already. And amazing it is, the people who are supposed to have imani life, we're looking at the dead man who got nothing coming further except that, oh dead man, I feel you sorry because the day your eyes open and life comes to you, you're going to burn forever. You're already dead. Almighty Allah says, the dead and the living can never be the same. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَّنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. And finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and you will never be able to make that man understand who's already in the grave. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَّنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. Meaning that man who doesn't want to listen, he will find 100 reasons why this is not the truth. We're not speaking of a non-Muslim, because the non-Muslim was not going to be reading Quran. This ayat was addressed to many Muslims in the world. That when your love for kufr will become so strong, there will be those Muslims who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said will sell their iman for a few rands of this world. So that was the introduction. When we found ourselves in such an era, and the era will most likely become more harder because we are leading towards what is known as the final. So as we move towards the final, the match has to become very hard. In a final, no weak team plays. So if the group of kuffar who is coming to the final is strong, Almighty Allah in His kindness will also make the group of iman just as strong. Help is divine. So in what was read at the ending was this verse, وَقَدْ مَكَرُوا مَكْرَهُمْ وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَكْرُهُمْ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. This ruku starts that don't ever think Allah doesn't know what's happening. He says rather Allah is giving grace till a day where everything is going to change. He says, but until that day, they are going to make a lot of plans. They have made many plans. وَقَدْ مَكَرُوا مَكْرَهُمْ. Indeed, they have made their plans. وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَكْرُهُمْ. But their every plan is in front of Almighty Allah. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. Beautiful Quran is. This ayat can have two meanings. Normally in the world, if you take one meaning, it contradicts the other meaning. In Quran, both meanings will be taken and together they will create what a beautiful meaning. First meaning will be, in kana makruhum. In means indeed. Some of their plans are so severe, litazula minhul jibal, that it can make mountains even move. Indeed, some of their plans are so severe that it can even make mountains move. A second meaning, where in takes the meaning of ma. Ma kana makruhum litazula minhu aljibal. That no matter how terrible their plans are, it will never be able to make mountains move. But which mountain? Because there it already said it can make mountains move. Mufassirin said there are two mountains. One is the physical mountain in the world. And one is the people of Iman who are known as mountains on earth. Says their plans will make physical mountains move. But it will never be able to move the mountains of Iman. Beautiful Quran is. May Allah Tawarakala make all of us those mountains. One individual becomes a mountain like Ibrahim alayhi salam. One man stood up against the empire of evil. So with regards to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, these are the ayat I want to translate. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he finds the era of Namrud. He sees the evil around. He looks deep. He understands how did the people become gripped in the love of idols. Then he has to leave the land of Iraq. He travels through Egypt. He comes to Makkah Mukarramah. That is where he is told you will be leaving your son. But the dua that he makes now was going to be a dua taught to all of us. That wherever you are in the world, you will have to make this dua. How Ibrahim alayhi salam created his Makkah Mukarramah for his family. Me and you will need to create a Makkah Mukarramah for our families. So Ibrahim alayhi salam looks at the barren land of Makkah Mukarramah. It wasn't what we see today. It wasn't a haram. There was not hundreds and thousands and millions coming to make Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. For him it was, there's nothing here. But he was going to teach the power of dua of the mountains of Iman. That with dua, you can go to a barren land, lift up your hands, and Allah will bring water. A sahabi radiallahu anhu, another one said to him, I'm paying off my father's debts. So this land, Al-Ghaba, he got. Why don't you take a piece of the land? He said, which part you want me to take? He said, take that part there, but there's no water on it. No water on the part, what am I going to do? It's not like today we have pipes. If you don't have water, the land is barren. He said, I'll take it. How much you charging? Whatever the price is, he said, I'll pay for it. They wanted to pay off the debts of his father. He goes towards that land, he calls for his musalla. He puts the musalla down. He sits, he reads his two rakats of salah, he makes dua. Thereafter he says to his workers, why don't you dig here, and as they dig, then they find water coming. There were people who created life. Ibrahim alayhi salam was going to teach the people of Iman, don't ever think your sustenance is restricted towards one shop. Don't ever think your sustenance is restricted towards one company, towards one office. You are in a corporate world and you find it's getting worse by the day. But you say, but if I pull out, then what? Ibrahim alayhi salam is teaching us, remember, I was in a barren land. In a barren land, I could make dua. You are living a nice life. You just worry, if I'm on 100,000, what happens if I come to 70,000? Will my wife leave me? He was going to teach this, that you can be in the barren of barren. Sustenance is not restricted. What has to come will come running behind an individual. If the individual walks towards it, it will walk towards him. If the individual runs away from it, his sustenance will have to run behind him. Mubarak to the world whose sustenance has to chase them. Mubarak to the world whose sustenance has to chase them. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by the qasam of Allah, Mubarak to the people. He said, every person's sustenance is written. And he said, Allah's qasam, no person will die until he uses up his last bit of sustenance. So it's something to think about this. Those people who are worried about how much I'll earn, they also worried about how long I'll live. So they must understand, if I take my earnings faster, I'm going to die faster. Because the day you used up your amount, you're gone. So don't rush it. How much is needed has to come. And you got a lot of time to use it. No one is going to go poor in this. But Iman is the main thing. Allah Tabarakallah says, remember when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, oh my Allah, make this land aminan, full of peace. In the eras of evil, war is normal. In the empires of evil, war is natural. Because when people become so powerful who have no heart, then the devil who has given them so much of power now wants to see man suffer. So the world becomes the world of fitan and fasad. Me and you only worried at the moment of our small South Africa. It is a worry of the whole world. We worried about our water and our electricity just because two people sitting in Eskom don't know when to put the lights on and off. What about a time that could come where there won't be two people there, there'll be two robots there. The two people you can arrest and lock them up and bring another two crooks. But the robot, when that artificial intelligence takes its place, and it decides to press one button, one missile can fly from one country to another, no one will say anything. Because everyone will be too scared to speak against the robot. He said, oh Allah, make this land a land of peace. Me and you have to start making this dua. For our lives and our progeny, Allah, we ask for afiyat. Afiyat means our dunya must be looked after, our deen must be looked after. In South Africa, we don't want riots. We don't want attacks. We don't want kufr falling on the people of Iman. It is not easy. Where some people say, when is the battle going to happen? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't be like that. He said, salullah al-afiyah. Continue asking Allah for safety. فَإِذَا لَقِيتُمُ الْعَدُوُ. And then when Allah wants and you will meet the enemy, he said, فَثْبُتُوا. Then remain firm. When he spoke of the coming of the appearance or the khuruj of the mess, spring of Dajjal,
He said, and you will come out in this way and that way, and you will be spreading fitan and fasad in the right and the left. And then he said, Ya ibadallah, O servants of Allah, fathbutu. At that time, just remain strong. Meaning, be like a mountain. That mountain, some are climbing up, is just standing. Some are drilling in it, it's standing. Some are trying to push it, it's standing. That is called thubut. Just remain firm. Ya ibadallah fathbutu. So we ask for aman. Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua, Rabbi ja'al hadha al-balada amina. We make this dua for our own country, for the world. Allah, let us see days of aman and ease. That's our dunya. And the dunya is meant to help deen. We want a beautiful masjid. Why? So Fajr and Isha I can perform easily. Dunya, when we make dua for, it is only to help our deen. Whoever makes dua for dunya, but the purpose of dunya is not deen, that dunya will pull him in Jahannam. Which Almighty Allah says, وَلَوْ بَسَتَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ. If Almighty Allah has to open the doors of sustenance for His servants, لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, they will become transgressors on earth. We want so much dunya which helps our deen. I want a beautiful house so that it can become a markaz of your deen. I want a lovely bedroom so my child can learn Quran. I need lights, O Allah, so when he's learning at night, it's easy for him. Whatever I want of dunya, Allah, is for my deen. Because if it's not for my deen, if dunya is only for my dunya, then that very bedroom will not wake someone up for Fajr, it will make him miss Fajr. I want the lovely bed so he can get a good sleep to wake up for Fajr. Not I want a lovely bed to get good sleep. Because if I stop it there, no one will wake up for Fajr then. I want a comfortable house so it's easy to practice on my deen. Not I want a comfortable house and stop. Because if the house becomes comfortable, no one will ever come out of the house. My dua for dunya is for deen. So he says, Allah, first everything must be peaceful. May Allah Ta'ala make everything peaceful for us. But for our deen, then he says, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Allah, let me and my progeny not become worshippers of idols. Now this is a unique dua of a unique individual. Ibrahim alayhi salam is a young boy who breaks the idol. If he broke the idol, where is he one day going to worship the idol? He taught the world, don't ever trust your iman. Life changes in such a manner, it's called qalb, the heart turns suddenly. And the man who 30 years ago said, how can you do this, today is doing it. The man who broke the idol, someone will say, do you ever think your child will worship the idol? Ibrahim alayhi salam said, it always can happen. The great mufti who spoke against kufr, and you found his grandson is promoting kufr. He says, your father, your grandfather, what happened? It's called qalb. Anything can change. I can change. You can change. Our progenies can change. He taught us this. Me and you, we're very worried about guna, sin. And we must be worried about sin. But when you ask a person, are you worried about kufr? He says, no, alhamdulillah, like we are Muslim family. Ibrahim alayhi salam taught us worry about kufr. Especially when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the end of times, when a man will sleep as a believer and wake up as a disbeliever. There was going to be a believer. It must not be I am that believer. You, Allah save us all. With the barakah of Quran, the barakah of the masjid, with the barakah of dua, he said, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ. Allah, save me and my progeny from ever worshipping idols. Then he said, رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah, these idols have taken so many people astray. إِنَّهُنَّ. But the idols were not taking no one astray. An idol can't take anyone astray. You build the idol. The idol just smiles. It was the jinn behind the idol. They used to make the idols with funny faces. And you wonder where they got this dream from. Like, you think he had a nightmare. He saw an ugly figure. And next day he said, let me make it. It wasn't his mother-in-law he was making there. Like. Look at that picture and wonder, where did you learn this? It's something to think about. The man who made that idol, some form had to be in front of him for him to make that. Some of them are hideous, evil, ugly, dirty. The one who made it most likely saw a jinn. Or he was introduced to how the jinns of the past used to look before the coming of Adam alayhi salam. So they said when man came, those jinn were destroyed. And the remaining ones that were left is what we call the remnants of the jinn. But their great grandfathers who once ruled the world, before Adam alayhi salam came, they were kicked out. They were destroyed. Iblis in the end of the day is a jinn. He'll love his great grandfathers till the ending. And he hates Adam and the children of Adam till the ending, whether they work for him or they don't work for him. He hates man. So he also loves to see in the world the pictures of his people. So when they made idols in the form of jinn. The jinn that they would at one time roam on the earth, or jinn if they have to show the picture. In the next 10 years, you will see a lot of artificial intelligence. Robots. Robots is like a small name. I don't know what new names will come out for it. But when you will look at the faces of these robots, you might see animals which are robots. You might hear of a zoo in the world or zoos where there's not going to be real lions and tigers. There's going to be robotic animals. And you'll wonder, now this doesn't make sense at all. Like, I like to see the real thing. But you, when you will see it, they will say this is more real than the real thing. You'll be amazed by what you see. But I want you at that moment to look at the face of it. And to see why is it so ugly. Why couldn't they make something handsome or beautiful? Because everyone loves something that's smart. But in the world of kufr, it only gets ugly. When you will see those forms, at that time say, A'udhu billah, I seek Allah's protection. This is nothing but the jinn. Artificial intelligence, when it will come, and it's already walking in the world, they don't look smart at all. Their features will become more hideous by the day. They'll take out their wings, they'll take out their horns, their eyes. But because of the power they will enjoy. So at that time the jinn operated with idols. And in our future the jinn will operate with robots. إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ Ibrahim alayhi salam at that time said, Allah, these jinn have taken so many people astray. Me and you will have to say, oh Allah, these jinn through the robots have taken so many people astray. There will be those who will fall at the feet of the robots making sajda. They will say, I don't make sajda like that, it's just a game. Whether I'm in a cricket match or in a soccer match and everyone is going up, down, he said, let's just enjoy. Or whether his awe for the thing will make him die. Abdiyat means I become so amazed with your power, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I follow you, I listen to you, I'm amazed with you. As artificial intelligence will enter the houses of people, after that will come the era which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the day will come where iman will enter into every house, baked and unbaked, whether the individual is happy for it to enter, or in the beginning he doesn't want it to enter, Islam is going to come. But just before that, kufr, and the system of kufr, Dajjal and the system of Dajjal is going to start creeping into every house. Through the phone it has already entered. And as we go further, what's going to be made? We might ourselves be selling those things. So the law is it wrong to sell it? No, it will be allowed to sell it. But when we will let it enter, we will make sure we say, Allah, you put us in your protection. This thing cannot harm us. I cannot be a worshipper to modern technology. Modern technology must serve me. In those verses that I read as the introduction, there was that one ayat that was the main part, where they said, so powerful the individual, that his head is in the sky, his legs in the bottom of the water. So Almighty Allah said, they are just, it is just in their heart, the desire to be big. مَا هُمْ بِبَالِغِي فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. You say, Allah, put me in your protection. Then came this verse, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرُضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. That remember, what Allah has created of the heavens and the earth, that is much, much more unique than what man will create. Man creates also through the permission of Allah. Man creates the beautiful BM, the beautiful Merc, the beautiful houses, the beautiful shuttles, the beautiful drones. Man creates it all. But when that drone goes in the mighty sky, then the question is, who made the sky? Sit in the aeroplane sometimes and look out of the window and think of this verse, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Then how are you amazed with the aeroplane and not amazed with the area around the aeroplane? When we will see technology as it advances, we will use it, we will never worship it. It will be our slave, we cannot be its slave. I will have to put on the gadget and I must be ready to put off the gadget. I cannot be addicted. I cannot go in a house and I say, there's no charge. My wife. The wife says, what happened? He said, not you, Wi-Fi. See, I'm not worried whether you are here or not. Where's my Wi-Fi? See, I reached the holiday, it's not here. We have already reached a place where people become sad as soon as they enter an area where there's no connection. Like, how will I live? Can I get past the next day? We will never become addicted to it. Because the addict is the worshipper. A king is a person who says to his workers, when you are here, I'll enjoy you all. If you all stand up against me, I don't need you all. I am a king. A worshipper is one who says to the king, I need you till the end. If technology I need, then I am a worshipper of technology. لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. When I show amazement, I only show it to Allah. If I enter into a smart car also, I won't say wow, I'll say subhanallah. Subhanallah doesn't mean, a lot of us don't know Arabic. So sometimes when we say subhanallah, we think it means what a car. Subhanallah means purity is only for Allah, even the car got a fault. Purity is only for Allah. Allahu Akbar means Allah is the highest. Why we say that? We think when someone wins, they mean Allahu Akbar, which means I won. Allahu Akbar means no matter how high I go, I will never be able to reach the heights of Almighty Allah. My coming down is coming, my Allah never comes down. These words were taught to us, that don't be thrilled with the world, be thrilled with the creator of the world. Subhanallah, purity is only for Allah, everything has got a fault. Everything got a fault. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs only to Allah. So if someone says, you saw this new thing, say Alhamdulillah, doesn't mean what a smart thing. It means if you want to praise something, rather praise directly. Why praise indirectly? Purity is only for Allah. Everything else got a fault. It's a unique wazifa, this one. If your wife is in her moods, then say subhanallah in her face. Because she thinks subhanAllah means what a nice wife, which means that everyone got faults. Only Ma Allah is unique. You also got your faults. SubhanAllah.
The khalqu samawati wal ard.
When we will see technology in its coming, we must see around the doings of Allah, that technology is also Allah's. But because it is through the means, our eye will normally fall on the non-Muslim who did it. And it will never go to Allah. So look out of that there. And say, glory to my Allah. I don't worship modern technology, I worship Allah. He said, how many people they have already taken astray, O Allah. فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي Allah, the one who walks my walk, he's mine. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي And the one who's not ready to listen to me, Allah, I ask you to be most forgiving towards him. In that, he indicated that in the eras of evil, it will not be possible for everyone to walk a straight walk. Some will follow. They say, you mine already. And there will be others who might respect, might be of the family, might once upon a time have iman, might have understanding. But because of this magnet that pulls, so Ibrahim alayhi salam said, I'll make dua for both parties. I'll make dua for the one who walks my walk, and I'll also make dua for the one who's not walking my walk. In a family, Allah save us all, there's a sentence that you say you can have a black sheep in the community, black sheep in the family. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu was salam, Nuh alayhi salam, he had four sons. From four sons, one son never got onto the boat. He had wives. From his wives, one wife was not ready to walk his walk. Allah has his system where Hamza radiallahu anhu and Abbas radiallahu anhu jumped to the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Abu Lahab and the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Talib, they never walk. Abu Lahab hated him, Abu Talib loved him. But everyone doesn't walk that walk. May Allah save all of us. But in our life, if we find our child walking our walk, then that you are already making dua for him. I'm so happy. فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي And for that person who's not walking that walk, then we will make the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَمَنْ عَصَانِي Allah, if they're not listening to me, I'm not going to curse at the moment. As long as they don't die on kufr, I'll continue making dua for them. فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ Your mercy covers everyone, Allah. Can't it cover him also? Can't it cover her? We might think sometimes you become angry. Your daughter might come and say, Daddy, I messed up. This is not the time to become angry now and now slap her. Because it means you slapping her after she's making tawbah. The slap supposed to be when she was doing the sin. If you have to slap someone, slap yourself because you never caught her. Now when she's caught, it's too late. So if she comes and she says, Daddy, I messed up. Now I'm pregnant. I don't know what to do. Now is not the time to slap. Now he says, فَإِنَّكَ وَاللَّهُ You are most forgiving. When you are most forgiving, why can't I also be forgiving? If the person now comes to say, I need help, a person of iman, until the life does not come out, you might say, how could you do what you're doing? Ibrahim alayhi salam was saying, O Allah, save me and my child from worshipping the idol. Meaning there's no how in this. When the devil pulls, me and you perhaps might not see what our children are seeing or have to see. We might not have that pull, that magnet which they got. We are not fighting a battle which they have to fight. We saw school, but we never saw their school. We saw university, we never saw their university. Sometimes you say, I was clean. So we were clean in a clean era. But to be clean in a dirty era, that's something else. The era is filthy. An individual who comes out clean in a filthy era, you call him, you are the imam of the era. So if the child comes and says, I messed up, The father, the mother must immediately be there to support. You remember when we were doing hifz, there was one glass door. So every time you would see someone running, and I remember my ustad, rahimahullah, shouted the boy, said, "You're going to bang into that thing." Shouted him. And then a time came a few weeks later where he did bang into it. And the whole thing fell. Poof. And that glass is not cheap glass. You might be also thinking and feeling the pain already now. So many years ago the price was. So now we all were scared. But when the ustad walked in and then he heard it broke. So he said, "Now what must I do? It's broken." And he walked to his room. We were amazed, like now we really thought the slap is coming, but it's too late for the slap now. Now if I slap, what problem? What's going to, the glass not going to come back up now. So it's done. The shouting was done before the problem. Shouting cannot be done after the problem. Now when the problem is there, we both need to work to put a new glass. Yes, we can punish the individual in such a manner that next time don't break the glass. So how you do that? Tell him, "You pay for the glass." Tell him, "We'll put up the glass, I'll work, you work with me." Make him feel a little bad so next time you won't run into it. But if that person at that moment says, "Get out of my house, I don't want to ever see you again." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his sahaba radiallahu anhum, regarding a sahabi who was drinking, he said, "Hit him." At that time the punishment of drinking alcohol was hitting. He said, "Hit him, hit him." While hitting, one sahabi said, "And may Allah destroy you, ruin you. May Allah disgrace you. Allahu yukhzik." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Hold on." He said, "Don't help the devil against your brother. He's already in such a problem where he's already disgraced. The hiding is to take him out of the problem." He said, "Don't ever say Allah disgrace you. You're helping the devil against him. That you're adding one more bad dua for him. We need to pull him out. Rather say, Allah guide you." So, وَمَنْ عَصَانِي, Allah, my child who doesn't walk, my progeny, my family, my friend, then you are most merciful. What stops me continue making dua? Then why I wanted to translate this was this next part. رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. In the era of evil, in the empires of evil, there will perhaps be times where people will have to relocate. Already in our small empire of South Africa, I don't know what you can call this, whether you can call it empire, or you can call it evil, or you call it empire of evil. Whatever you want to call it, but already every day someone is talking of moving. And if he got that money, he says, "I'm moving to a more secure area, a more protected area." But whoever is moving, when he moves, you ask him, "You move to an area that is more secure for what?" And normally he will say, "For my dunya." He won't say, "For my dunya and my deen." We don't want that move. That move is a very harmful move. Because if you near the masjid, you might come for fajr. But if you far from the masjid, fajr is not going to come to you. If you near the masjid, you might tell your child, "Go madrasa." But if you far from the masjid, you're going to just tell him online, "Just read how to read kalima, finished." We went to a country where the masjid was beautiful. So I asked the person that this government I don't trust. But such beautiful masjids, it doesn't make sense. He said, "No, in this country they spend a lot for masjids, but they don't allow Islamic teaching. What we call maktab teaching. They don't allow maktabs. But you got beautiful masajid." He says, "They want you to read salah, but they don't want no one to teach children about Islam." What will happen is the next generation will be told, "You got a club and you got the masjid, the choice is yours, we never stopped you." But naturally that child who never grew up with Islamic education will go to the club, he's not going to go to the masjid. So they don't close the masjid, they close the maktab. You close the maktab, slowly, slowly you take out the teaching. You make the teaching less important, basic, basic, hardly anything left. And you ask the person, your child is learning about Islam. He says, yeah, Saturday, Sunday, 2 hours like. See, Saturday, Sunday to learn about his deen. Deen is a whole life story. It's teaching you about loving, it's teaching you about dying. You say, how many hours you give for your 60 years of dunya? He says, in the morning they start at 8, no 5, because they start getting ready for their transport. And they only come back by 3, 4 o'clock. He said, so much time you gave for what? He said, I gave for 60 years of my child's life. And how much time you gave for eternity? He said, I gave Saturday, Sunday, 1 hour. That internet education is not going to work. Take out the maktab from the child, even if the masjid is there with no maktab operating in it. A time will come when that masjid will become empty also. When Quran now speaks about masajid, it means that environment of the masjid. Environment of the masjid means the building. For which reason, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Masjid al-Nabawi, the masjid increased according to the students in the masjid. The more the students got, they say, make a bigger masjid. In today's time, one favor Allah has given the people of this country, which others don't have it, is wherever they have built a masjid, they made sure they appointed an imam. The imam's job was also to teach a maktab, to have a hifz class, to have something running. It has to get even more. There must be adult classes. There must be the learning of the knowledge of Arabic. It's not only from a certain age to a certain age. It has to open, open, open. The masjid is called a markaz. That's a masjid. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allah, I needed to put my child somewhere. Inni askantu min zurriyati biwadin. Allah, I am leaving my progeny in a valley, barren, غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ, nothing grows here, Allah. Why I am putting him here? In the بَيْتِكَ muharram, just because it is close to your house, O Allah. In the future, when we want to relocate, perhaps because of safety reasons, no water, no electricity, and the new estate, the new city, they got the things for us. We will relocate with the nazar of Ibrahim alayhi salam. I will only go if a masjid goes with me. This musalla doesn't work. Where someone will say, and we'll have a musalla in our garage. The musalla doesn't work. If I am going, I'm going to take so much money with me that the land next door is a masjid. And I'm going to take a jamaat with me then. So that the masjid's markaz is where I evolve around. I will not go to a place where there's no masjid. And if I have to go, the masjid goes with me. How big masjid? You don't need a big masjid. The size of the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what we can start with also. What is a masjid? This land here, Allah, is now yours. Someone will say, where's the masjid roof? You will say, at the moment my masjid looks like Masjidun Nabawi of the past. It doesn't need a smart roof. It doesn't need smart carpets. That will come when the people will come. After 3 musallis will come, they'll say, very hard to make sajda on the sand. You say, why don't you buy a carpet then? But the masjid will go wherever we go. When we went to one African country, African country, so Africa is also an African country, but what we mean, the way you really feel, here we only see like smart masjids, there you really feel like I'm in Africa. Because you see lions moving, one man riding bicycle and a lion on the side also. This is Africa. So in that one country, the masjid was such that they only had 2 taps. Only 2 taps. And they used to lay out the straw mats, salah time. And after the salah, you just fold it up and you put it in one box. And what's the roof? One part of it just got a small straw like. So some people will get sheets salatain and the other people will read namaz with no sheet. But that part is cordoned off masjid. That masjid you can have in one town on every street also. But that place will never be used for anything but the ibadat of Allah. A masjid doesn't need a master plan. Wherever we will go with our masjid. Mubarak to the people who worked for this masjid. And Mubarak to the person who will always go with his masjid. Mubarak, why? Not that he put up the masjid will put him up. Our lives will be saved if a masjid, but the structure of the masjid. A markaz has to go with it. The masjid has to have its class. I have to be part of that class. Things must be happening. I come in the masjid, it removes me of the dirt, I go back in the world. He says, Allah, why did I bring my children here? He said, I put them here because they can be close to your house. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ Oh Allah, just so that they could establish the prayer. If I to keep them far, they will not perform salah. If they don't perform salah, they will start worshipping the devil. To keep them in salah, I brought them to your house. فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ تَحْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ Allah, now you bring the people towards it. In this, there's an indication that if ever you have to land up somewhere, take out a little bit extra money of yours and put up a masjid. And you will see because of the masjid, people of your type will also start coming towards it. Naturally, people will be prepared to pay big amounts of money for the houses around, because hey, a masjid is here. The man who goes alone and he doesn't take a masjid, he is like a sheep that's walking alone, the wolf is going to take him. You'll have to put up a masjid and other people will then come. After you got yourself next to the masjid, then you will lift up your hands and you will say, Allah, bring the people towards. And then you will announce and you will call. And you will tell people, I'm living here very comfortable, but I need others. Because a masjid needs musallis. He said, now bring the people towards it. وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ And he says, and bring sustenance also towards it. When the masjid will come, the dunya will come with it also. He taught us how to make dua. Our dua for dunya will be to make our deen comfortable. Our dua for the fruits, our dua for company, our dua for aman and ease will be, oh Allah, just so that I can worship you nicely. Make dua for dunya so that it helps my deen. Then he says, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مَا نُخْفِي وَمَا نُعْلِنُ Oh Allah, indeed you are very well aware of what we hide within our hearts and what we make apparent. Ibrahim alayhi salam was so pure, what he had hidden in his heart. But what a thing he said to help me and you, that when I'm making dua, the thought will come to me that you not Ibrahim, please. So don't go like this here and your wife asks, what's happening? You say, I'm making this here, markaz. Say you like. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, what a dua he said. He said, Allah, you know better regarding my insight. Even more than my wife knows, you know. Who can hide from Allah? You know what I'm saying on the outside, but you know my inside. وَمَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ Nothing is hidden from Allah. Neither in the heavens, neither in the earth. But when we make dua, we don't ever look at ourselves, we look at the kindness of our Allah. We make big duas. Alhamdulillahi الَّذِي وَهَبَ لِي عَلَى الْكِبَرِ إِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقِ He taught us a second way of making dua to Almighty Allah. It is called, thank Allah for your dunya, and then make dua for your akhirah. Thank Allah for your dunya. The first was, whenever you ask for dunya, it must be for the sake of our deen. Second is, I says, I thank you Allah, at such an old age you gave me Ismail and Ishaq as sons. So me and you, we got a lot of dunya around. Our family is dunya. Our house is dunya. Our car is dunya. Thank Allah for dunya. He said, Inna Rabbi lasami'u dua. How you heard my call? I was so old, no one thought I'll get a child. How you gave me the child? I thank you for my dunya. And now I ask you for my akhirah.
Rabbi ja'alni muqeem as-salah. Allah, you gave me wonderful children. Now give me, make me and make my children such that we establish the salah. Rabbana wa taqabbal du'a. This is my dunya. I thank Allah for my dunya and I ask for my deen. Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya. Allah, forgive me. Forgive my parents. Forgive the believers. Yawma yaqoomu al-hisab. On that day when reckoning will start. The final was to say, if you want to win this match, you will have to keep the end in sight. If you want to win this match, we will have to keep the end in sight. The end is reckoning. A day is going to come where prizes are going to be given, and some people are going to be told, you failed. On that day, the reality is going to open. He ended it with this. That if we're living in a world where we see some hard days also, but if the end is in sight, man will always say, it's worth the trouble, you don't know what's coming. It's worth the trouble, you don't know what's coming. When the end is gone, that's when we only see in front and we say, I need it now. Like the person has written there, I only want cash, no credit. But for the people of Iman is, I only want the credit even if the cash doesn't come. Because what is coming is da'imi, forever and ever. What is immediate is a lie. It comes and it goes very fast. What is coming comes with the pleasure of Allah. What is at the moment is not always with the pleasure of Allah. This is a very small exam that we are going through. It is definitely a very difficult exam. But Allah only brings those people in the finals who have the ability to win the match. When kufr has become so strong, Allah is going to make the people of Iman also so strong. There's going to be mountains of Iman. Allah in His kindness make all of us those mountains. May Allah tabarakala let us take lessons from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Let us make du'as in the manner that he made. And may Allah make how he saw. His eyes were cool with what he saw. In front of him, the empire of Namrud, empire of evil, collapsed. May Allah tabarakala make it in front of us, the empires of evil collapses. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.